The Roman Method of Teaching Children to Play Soccer by Stephen J. Roman, Sr. Answering the Call. There comes a time in the life of every father or mother who has children when they decide to sign their children up for a sports team. And the traditional game that most first look at for their children is baseball. Just about every male and many females have played baseball and understand the game quite well. Therefore, it is something they naturally tend to comprehend and gravitate to. However, there is a game that in the past 30 years has gone from relative obscurity to being just about equal in the minds of most parents as an excellent sport for their youngsters to play. That sport, ladies and gentlemen, is soccer. Since most community sports have seasons, it is very easy for a child to play both Little League baseball in the spring and summer and soccer in the fall. Since baseball is so well known and has a long history of methods of teaching children to play, there is usually no difficulty in pinning down two or three parents to coach and manage a team. Soccer, however, is a different story. Although many people have now seen soccer, and still even more have played it, there are really no tried and true methods of teaching children, especially young children, how to play. Unlike baseball with its defined positions and required skill levels, soccer seems like a mass of young people all standing a few feet from the soccer ball and moving in a sort of swarm all over the field until someone eventually kicks the ball into the goal. This is not the way the game should be played, and it is not enjoyable for the kids who are playing, the coaches, managers, and least of all the parents. This manual is dedicated to all those parents who one day find their names on the top page of a list of 18 or 20 players, some as young as 5 or 6, and when all those wonderful young, eager-to-learn faces are all looking up to you, the coach, to not only tell them what to do, but to let them have fun and maybe even win a few games. You will start to find just how valuable these lessons I'm about to teach you will become. To all of you who have accepted the coach's mantle, I will only say that as your own skill levels advance, you will see that your players' skills will advance as well. And as you stand on the sidelines and watch this little bunch of kids who just 5 or 6 weeks ago were not sure what it was that they were doing, you will give yourself a well-deserved pat on the back for a job well done. Are the instructions in this booklet a guaranteed way to win? No more than any team that takes the field, be it your little group of players or the most professional soccer team in the world. It is a guideline to give you an idea how to start a bunch of little kids on what we hope will be a long and enjoyable trip into the world of soccer. Good luck to you and your team. Introduction. I have been a soccer coach for many years and have compiled the following information for anyone who would like to teach a young child to play soccer. Teaching children to play soccer is like a training period for any other sport. Since soccer is played in some areas by children as young as 5 years old, it is essential that we first establish an authority figure. Keep in mind that all coaches, no matter what the sport, are authority figures to children. A potential coach should keep in mind that at the younger ages, winning is secondary to teaching and to enjoyment for the child. At older ages, it is essential that the winning spirit become a major reason for playing the game. As I said earlier, the person who is considering coaching soccer should learn what it means to be a coach. There are many good publications that can tell you what it means to be a coach, how to act as a coach, and the do's and don'ts of being a coach. It must be clearly understood in this manual that being a winning coach in any sport requires a commitment. The first commitment, of course, must come from the coach. If you're a person who can usually be home between 5:30 and 6 p.m. and doesn't mind missing dinner and seeing the local news, and you're prepared to sweat, yell, get bitten by bugs, stand in the cold and the heat, give up every weekend, be able to put up with all of the excuses a parent has about why a child is not at practice and were late picking their kids up after practice, then you might have what it takes to become a soccer coach. It is essential for the new coach to realize that he or she is not a babysitter. What this means is that parents will automatically assume that they can drop their child off at the field, and either the coach will drop the kids off at their home, or the coach will wait around the field forever for the children's parents to finish their shopping or art class. I recommend that once you have received your list of players and phone numbers, that you do the following. Number one, call every parent and tell them that you are having a team meeting before the first practice, and it is essential that at least one parent attend this meeting. Most parents will not give you a hard time, but there are those who will offer various excuses about why they can't attend. Tell them that you are going to ask for volunteers to help with the team, and those parents who are not at practice will be asked to do whatever jobs are left over. This will usually get at least one parent out for your meeting. Number two, before your first meeting, break down your help requirements into segments. These segments should cover all of the work that is required to run the team. Some of those are as follows. A, the telephone squad. Try to break this list to under 5 players for each person. Have a backup in case someone is out of town or does not make their calls. B, the juice and oranges squad. Each parent on the team should share the responsibility of bringing juice, water, and oranges to the games. Make up a list of all of your games and assign one game to each parent. If you have 2 kids from the same family, they will have the duty twice. They are to bring sufficient sliced oranges and juice or water to each game for halftime. C, the carpool list. If your team is a traveling or select team, they may play games out of town. It is essential that a hard and fast list of drivers be made up and distributed at that first meeting. Have a letter to the parents written. The first paragraph of that letter should have your name, phone number, email, and the name of the team on it. This letter will look tough, and it is meant to set the tone for the season. In the next paragraph, you will say that if a child does not come to practice, they will not play. You must say that at the meeting. It is essential to discipline the team. At the meeting, you can, of course, say that if there are mitigating circumstances, such as an illness, a doctor's appointment, etc., that's okay. But a child who does not practice will not play. This usually gets the parents to make some effort to get the child to practices and games on time. You can have another paragraph in the letter telling the parents the league rules on uniforms, shoes, shin guards, etc., and that every player must show up at the game in full uniform. If they do not show up in full uniform, they cannot play, and no exceptions will be made. If you have a boys' team, recommend that they wear an athletic supporter and a plastic cup for safety. The most important paragraph will be what we call the bad coaches paragraph. This is usually the one that has all of the parents talking to each other about how awful the coach is, even before the first practice is held. This paragraph starts out with, "The coaches are not babysitters." This is the parents' responsibility to drop off their child at the field and on time. It is also the parents' responsibility to pick up the child after practice, and recommend that the parents get to the field 15 minutes before practice ends. And here's the kicker. The coach will leave the field as soon as practice is over and will not be able to stay with any children who are not picked up by their parents. You can explain that you have commitments that night and require your attention or whatever, but you will not be able to stay 1 minute past the end of practice. In fact, you will always stay with the child who is left at the field. But you must scare the parents on this one. And believe me, it works. You must establish practice times and stick to them. I usually practice from 6 or 6:15 to 7:45 p.m. every day.